Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, we return to our study for the year as lively stones, and we are now looking at some of the lively stones from the Old Testament and what made them lively, but the faith that they had. And we're looking at some of these folks as outlined for us in Hebrews chapter 11 today. By faith, Sarah. I have just one little tiny point to make about Sarah, but it's going to take me a long time to get there. So I'll lead you along, and we'll get there eventually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lady, this wife of Abraham, a man of great faith. She sometimes lives in his shadow, but she had faith of her own. And you have chosen to specifically name her in this hall of faith. Something about her that we need to see that will encourage us. So help us, Lord, in this study, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, if you were engaged to a man and he promised for your honeymoon to take you to Williamsburg, Virginia, would you believe he is able to do that? Well, it's not too far away. It doesn't sound too expensive. How about if he promised to take you to Niagara Falls? Okay. How about Paris, France? Think that would be within his means to do that? How about if he promised to take you to the space station? You might not even want to do that. But would he be able to do that? You believe the promises of a man to the degree of his capacity to deliver. Faith in God involves these two things. One, absolute, unreserved hope in the promises that God has made. And two, because you absolutely, unreservedly are convinced that whatever God promises, you believe also he has the capacity to deliver. This understanding is what brought Sarah to faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. God promised Abraham he would have a child. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, he says, first of all, to Abraham, and I will make of thee a great nation. Well, you have to have children to become a nation. Then chapter 13 and verse 16, chapter 13 and verse 16, he says, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. And the word seed is referring to children, and it is in the plural. And, of course, it would of necessity be in order to equal the dust of the earth. And then in chapter 15, in verse 5, he uses a different analogy. And he says, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So he promises Abraham he's going to have so many children and so many descendants through multiple generations that they're going to equal the number of stars in the heavens, and no one can count how many. Now, you and I can't appreciate how many stars are out there. If you ever get an opportunity to be in a part of the world where you're not close to a city where the lights kind of camouflage the sky at night, and you can be in a place where it's really dark and the sky is really clear, you would be amazed at how many stars you can see. But even now today, in a place like that, you can't see as many stars as there are. Imagine a time when the earth didn't have any big cities with all the electric lights shining all around the globe, blocking out some of what you could see in the sky. The number of stars would absolutely amaze you. And that's how many children and descendants Abraham was promised. Now, in chapter 12 and verse 4, it tells us that Abraham was 75 years old when he first went into the land of Canaan. And chapter 17 and verse 17 tells us that Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham. So when Sarah comes with Abraham into the promised land at the very beginning, she was 65 years old. When we come over to chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, we read this. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. Verse 3, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, a maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So if she's 65 years old when they first come into the land of Canaan, it's 10 years later, she is now 75 years old. And at this point, she gave up on having children. And so she sought to obtain a child through a surrogate mother. Are you familiar with that term? Surrogacy is an adoption arrangement where a woman agrees to carry and birth a child for another couple. There are at least 30,000 surrogate births in the United States today per year. Now, a very small percentage of those surrogate mothers, after they are with child, have second thoughts about giving up the child. Since this happens today, it should be no surprise that it would happen in Abram's day. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 2. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain a child by her. Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Verse 4. Hagar conceives. And the second part of the verse, 4, when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now, understanding, socially, Sarah was superior to Hagar. Hagar was inferior to Sarah because she was the servant. But knowing that Sarah was unable to have children, and now she, Hagar, is with child, she feels superior to Sarah and apparently expresses this in some ways. And despises Sarah. How do you think that made Sarah feel? Well, I don't imagine she was very happy about it. Verse 5, Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she that is Hagar fled, obviously, with the child that is still in her womb. But as this event unfolds, the angel of the Lord finds Hagar, convinces her to go back, and makes promises to her and her son. So Hagar goes back, and Abram, when the child is born, treats Ishmael as if he were the son of promise. Now we go to chapter 17 and go to verse 6. And God is now going to review with Abraham the promise that he made to him. Actually, I'll start in verse 1 reading. We'll get down to verse 6. I'll start reading in verse 1. Chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between thee, me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then he says, verse 9, and God said unto Abram, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. In these 10 verses, God refers to Abraham's seed or children 5 times. And he confirms or affirms his covenant with Abraham, it makes it very clear that Abraham will have children and that they will multiply through many generations. And then God clarifies with Abram that his seed would come through Sarah. Drop down to verse 15. Now, prior to this in the biblical record, there is no actual mention of Sarah having children, but the implication was there, and now God is going to clarify it. Verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, Sarai is how apparently you pronounce it, Sarai, the I on the end, a sounding E. As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, Abraham wondered about the possibility of this. And so, in verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Now, remember, at the beginning of the chapter, it said he's 99. Well, till the child would be born, he'd be 100. So a year later, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? She's presently 89 years old. Now he's saying this to himself. Notice it says in verse 17, he said this in his heart. He didn't say this out loud. He's saying this to himself, but then out loud to God in verse 18, he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So God responds in verse 19, God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. No, it's not going to be Ishmael. His name is going to be Isaac, and Sarah is actually the one that's going to bear this child. Chapter 18, verse 1. So the Lord comes for a visit. This is not now a conversation by voice, but by sight. The Lord, this would be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is always the one who expresses himself visibly. He takes the form of a man, not in the same sense of the incarnation years later when he would come and actually take on human nature. This is what we call an anthropomorphism. He appears as a man. And it says, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. That is Abraham sitting there, and he sees them coming. And they come, and we read this earlier this morning, and they fix a meal for him, and then they're going to have a conversation. Drop down to verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. So he confirms it again. But now this time, this is the first time that Sarah hears it audibly. Abraham has told her this. Now she hears the Lord actually say it. She's standing behind the curtain of the tent. And it says, Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind. Verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Sarah's 89 years old, and the parts of her body that allow her to bear a child didn't work anymore. This is what happens to women as they get older. Certain parts of her body does not work anymore. This was Sarah's condition. It just wasn't possible physically for her to have a child. So in verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself. It wasn't laughing out loud so that anyone could hear. She laughed within herself. Did you ever sort of chuckle to yourself? So you hear something that sounds kind of funny. You kind of chuckle to yourself. It's not like you're ha-ha-ha. But she found it to be rather humorous. And she says within herself, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. Sarah considered having a child to be a pleasure. It ought to be that way for everyone. Having children should be a pleasure. In the year 1800, families in America averaged 7 children per family. Average. That's a lot of children, average. In 1950, it was 3 or 4 children, 3.5. Don't you feel bad for that 0.5 child? Well, how about a 0.7? Because in 2023, it was 1.7 average children per family. And a lot of people are discouraging folks from having children. You know, this is not a world in which we ought to bring children. Really? Why not? Why can't we bring children into the world, teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, have them receive Christ as their Savior, and have the hope of heaven? Why not? It should be a pleasure to have children. Sarah thought it would be a pleasure to have a child. She just didn't think it was possible. Verse 13, the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now, she didn't laugh out loud, and she was behind the curtain in the tent. How did he know that she laughed? Well, this is the Lord. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And here is a most profound statement. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So he says, at the time appointed, I will, he said this before. Now he has to say it again. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. And here's that little point that I wanted to make. For she was afraid. That word, afraid, has the same Strong's number as a word over in Psalm 89, verse 7. Psalm 89, verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence. Same Strong's number. Reverence. What was Sarah's fear? It was reverence for God. It was the same fear that moved Noah to build the ark, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Said Noah, assumed that we're going to Genesis. It's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, where it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So Sarah hears the Lord say, you're old, so what? Is anything too hard for me to do? I'm telling you again, as I've said before, I'm going to return the time of life. Sarah is going to have a child in her old age. She laughs because in herself she thinks it is impossible, but then she realizes who has said this. And she's moved with fear. It is in that moment, I believe, that we are able then to come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. I don't think it's possible. I think this is funny. I am 89 years old. Any of you ladies want to have a child at the age of 89? Or 90? Wouldn't that be fun? No. She says, no. I don't want to. I don't want to doubt the Lord, but I am old. No, you are. I heard you laugh, but I didn't laugh out loud. How do you know I laughed? Do you understand what happened with that? She laughed within herself. So she is justified in saying, no, I didn't laugh. How could you possibly hear me laugh? I didn't laugh out loud. It was just kind of something on the inside. God says, no, I know you laughed. I know you think this is impossible. But I'm telling you, I'm making you this promise. There's nothing too hard for me. And I'm going to do this. And she was moved with fear, overwhelmed with reverence for the Lord, and judged him faithful who had promised. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, God makes promises so that our relationship with him would be based upon faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, for the promise that he, that is Abraham, should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You understand this promise of Abraham becoming a nation and having kings descend from him. All of this and the promise made to Sarah to have this child, all of this came before the law was ever thought of. The law doesn't come to Moses. There is no written, stated law except what is written in their hearts. So now all they have is God's promise. And so they trust in this promise, and through the righteousness of faith in the promise of God, they have this amazing relationship with the Almighty. Unfortunately for Abraham's descendants, many, many, many of Abraham's descendants, when the law came, they forgot about the faith of Abraham. Romans chapter 9, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Here they have the law. In the law is stated the righteousness of God, but they missed the righteousness of God. They missed the whole point of the law. Why? In verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They weren't moved by fear and reverence of God. They were moved by a self-indulgence. Oh, I can do this. I can do, oh, the law? I can do that. No problem. I'll just do the law and I'll be fine. Really? What does James tell us? How many laws does it take to become a sinner? How many laws do you break and become a sinner? Just one. Oh, yeah, there were 10 commandments, but there were 613 specific laws. If you doubt that, I have a list. I have it in my files, all 613 of them, delineated by the Jews. 613 laws. Could any of you name all 613 laws? How many of the Israelites do you think could have named all 613? If you can't even name them, how are you going to keep them? How many of you could quote the Ten Commandments right now? I won't ask. I mean, I did ask, but I won't expect you to answer. They said, yeah, I can do this. No, you can't. That's the point. You need to be moved with fear and have reverence for God, who said, "Nothing is too hard for me." Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, just before I read verse 16 here in Romans chapter 4, I would imagine most of us are familiar with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you're saved through faith." Well, notice what this verse says. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace." Same thing. It's not through the law. It's through faith. God has made promises. His word is filled with promises. Do we believe that God can keep his promises? Do you believe that God can keep your soul for eternity? Verse 17 of Romans chapter 4. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, two things, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Now consider, quickeneth, you understand that word means to make alive. God is able to make the dead come to life. That's the whole point of the resurrection. If God can make the dead come to life, what can he not do? I mean, that seems like a pretty hard thing. When's the last time you brought someone who was dead back to life again? It's not even something we think about as a possibility. To us, it's impossible. Not to God. He can do it. But the second thing is, he calls those things which be not as though they were. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." I have already made thee a father of many nations. Did he even have a child yet? No. But God calls what is not yet into being because he knows the future. He knows everything that's going to happen. With certainty, Abraham, you are going to have a child, and you are going to have multiple descendants, and you will be a great nation. In fact, you won't be one nation, you'll be many nations. You know, if God knows things that are going to be, when as yet there is no evidence that they are, isn't that pretty amazing? Abraham and Sarah understood this and believed God when hope seemed senseless. Verse 18, Romans chapter 4, verse 18. "Who against hope believed in hope." I'm old. My body doesn't work anymore. It's not possible. But I'll believe it anyway. Isn't that something? It's not possible. But God said it. Therefore, I believe it. Abraham and Sarah came to believe that God's capacity to keep his promises was greater than the apparent impossibility of their circumstances. Abraham and Sarah came to believe that God's capacity to keep his promises was greater than the apparent impossibility of their circumstances. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 4, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Same words referred to Sarah in Hebrews chapter 11. "Abraham, you're too old to have children, and Sarah's womb is dead." "Yeah, what's your point?" "Well, you can't have a child. It's impossible." "Oh, is God able to keep his promises? Is an old man and a dead womb of his wife too much for God to deal with? I am fully persuaded that what God promised, he is able to perform." And Sarah agreed. She judged him faithful who had promised. Is there anything that seems impossible in your life today? Is there anything so imposing that it would prevent God from doing that impossible thing? What do you believe God is capable of doing? If your faith is real and God has promised, and it is his will, then you will believe that God can do the impossible. Just as the angel said to Mary, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Sarah, for Abraham, for their strong confidence in your promises. Now, Lord, I know there are some people in this world that demand things of you and expect things of you that are not part of your will, and then accuse you of not coming through because they didn't get what they wanted. Help us all to understand this isn't what we're talking about. If you have promised us something, and if you have designed something to be part of your will for our lives, help us to be moved with fear. We might laugh a little, wondering about the possibility of things that you have promised. But move us with fear, with reverence, that we might judge you faithful and able to keep all your promises. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.